Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama. From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road. By the bay, life moves a little slower. Alabama, I'm coming home.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester, Mike the Great's at the Command Center.
And today is a big day. Do you know why?
What's the big
day? Because it's your birthday, and that means I just got Rickrolled on my birthday. Woo! What's up?
53, baby.
There you go.
53.
Happy birthday.
Feeling fresh.
I bet.
53. Well, you know,
long of the tooth, but
turning
fresh.
Turning 53 though means absolutely nothing. Like there's nothing about that. Like, big deal.
Inquiring minds want to know, what does it feel like when you rolled out of bed this morning?
It felt pretty much like 52. Like, sorry.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, nothing exciting. You know what is exciting
is that
it's the Friday after Ash Wednesday.
Ah, yeah.
So we are into Lent, baby. We are into Lent. Let's pray.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Show gracious favor, O Lord, we pray, to the works of penance we have begun, that we may have strength to accomplish with sincerity the bodily observances we undertake. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We thank our sponsor, Spectrum Collision, serving the Mobile community for over 40 years. Spectrum provides all types of auto services, including mechanic work, collision repair, tires, and 24-hour towing. Located on Airport Boulevard in Mobile, Spectrum can be reached at 251-342-0005 or speakcol.com. That's speccol.com.
And in news this morning, the United States today will begin rolling back one of former President Donald Trump's strictest immigration policies, allowing in the first of thousands of asylum seekers who have been forced to wait in Mexico for their cases to be heard. Capitol Police leadership has suspended 6 officers and placed 29 others under investigation amid its review of the events on January 6th. COVID-19 vaccine developers are beginning trials in pregnant women, looking to provide reassurance that the shots are safe for expectant mothers. Many of the millions of Texans who lost power for days after a deadly winter blast overwhelmed the electric grid now have it back, thank God, but the crisis was far from over in parts of the South with many people lacking safe drinking water. Bishop Daniel Flores of Brownsville, Texas, announced yesterday, too, that he is granting a dispensation from abstinence for meat today, you know, due to the, lack of food resources. You got to eat what you can to survive, right? The Vatican said today that it expects a record deficit of around $60 million in 2021 amid the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia is warning its parishes to remain alert after a man was arrested for stealing from a series of local churches. And in sports news, yesterday the Philadelphia Eagles traded Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts. So leaves Jalen Hurts as the man for right now. So roll tide and go on, Jalen.
Indeed. We always look forward to Friday mornings when the Media Czar comes on. And it's especially nice when he's talking about movies that have been filmed in our area. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning. Happy birthday. I admit it split my mind. I should always remember because your birthday is 2 days before mine.
So that's maybe
right. Maybe it was 2 days after.
Dun, da, da.
Well, happy belated birthday to you.
No, early birthday.
I mean, early birthday to you, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a much, much, much younger man than Todd.
Yeah, 2 years is a lot. That's a lot.
Well, you know, that's right. Yeah, so a few weeks ago, our listeners may remember that I reviewed the film Our Friend, which was filmed in Fairhope. And was a fantastic movie. and really, really celebrated Fairhope. I mean, it was a true story that took place in Fairhope, and so the city was identified as such with familiar locations and all that. It really was very complimentary towards Fairhope. Now, in contrast to the film I'm reviewing this week, The Map of Tiny Perfect Things, is also quite complimentary to the area, although it doesn't identify Fairhope or Mobile by name or even Alabama. As you watch the film, for those of us who live around here, there are a lot of familiar locations and areas and places we can identify that we've been and so forth, but it is, at no point in the movie is it ever mentioned where the story is taking place. Because it really, honestly, really isn't that relevant. It's just the fact that it's kind of a generic, homey small town where the story takes place. And Fairhope is nothing if not fitting that description of a homey small town.
Mm-hmm.
So it was filmed, The Map of Tiny Perfect Things was filmed in Fairhope right before the lockdown occurred. It was almost entirely filmed in February of 2020. I mean, literally, we're talking just before the lockdown. And in fact, from my reading I did, they were 2 days away from finishing up principal photography when the lockdown happened. And so they had to halt production and shot those last couple days the following October of 2020, and wrapped the film then. So, you know, we wonder about films that the time in Hollywood where productions just cease. And so the lag of that is that we're now getting this last batch of films that were more or less completed before the shutdown. And they're kind of dribbling out until, you know, productions have gone back into production, start coming out later. So it's an interesting timetable. Anyhow, the film is, first of all, I'll tell people where it's available. It is, if you have an Amazon Prime subscription, the film premiered exclusively on Amazon streaming service. And so if you have a subscription, it is free to view there. You know, some things you still have to buy or rent. So this one you do not. It's free if you have a subscription to Amazon. And that's the only place where you can see it. It did not, it was not released in theaters. It's strictly Amazon. It was released on February 12th, so just a few days ago. And basically the premise is, if you've seen Groundhog Day, you know the premise of this film. It's the exact same premise, which is that the world is stuck in a time loop of one day that repeats itself over and over and over again. And there's a young man who is initially seems to be the only one who is aware that this is going on, much like Bill Murray in the movie Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
And he acts much like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. He goes around town kind of memorizing everything that happens and shows up to help people and solve their problems in the nick of time. Each and every day, over and over and over again. And he learns, he works on his art and music, and tries to improve himself somewhat. I mean, it's almost a carbon copy of Groundhog Day. And you think, well, why are they doing this? Well, the film is very self-aware. It knows that's what it is. It even references the movie Groundhog Day in the movie. And so while it has that similarity as a premise, it then diverges from there because, I forget the character's name, but the young man, he's a high school student, he's the lead, encounters a young woman in one of these iterations of the day repeating who wasn't there before in any of the previous iterations. And he makes contact with her and discovers that she's having the same experience.
Wow.
So the two of them are stuck in this loop. And it's not, they're both high school students, a young man and a young woman, stuck in this loop together, and I bet you can't guess where this is going.
do they fall in love? Do they fall in love, Tom?
Yeah. So So the genre is science fiction, but also a little bit of comedy. It's also drama, but at the heart of it, it is a young adult, you know, slash teenage romance.
Mm-hmm.
It is a film I never would have watched except because it was filmed in Fairhope. That is why I watched it. But I will say I'm glad I watched it because it is, on balance, it is a nice, sweet, clever, cute little movie. It's not anything earth-shaking. It's not going to, you know, you're not getting any super profound insights into life. But it does try to achieve some depth in the experience of these characters. And there are a couple of twists in the movie, which I will say I saw coming 10 miles away. Was not surprised at all at kind of the big twist. But that's okay. It was... the twist made perfect sense in the plot, which I guess is why I saw it coming.
Right.
But it was refreshing in that as a teen romance, there really wasn't any objectionable content in the movie. There's a little bit of salty language, nothing too much beyond a couple of crudities.
Yeah, I was going to ask why is it PG-13?
I guess because of some of the language, and then, you know, there's a little bit heavier of a theme in the movie as it goes on, but it's not, I honestly can't think of too much of a reason why it would be PG-13 versus PG. I mean, there's no sexual content, that I can recall. You know, really, nothing jumps out. And I mean, I apologize if somebody watches it and there's something I forgot, but I watched this 2 days ago and I can't recall anything super objectionable.
Yeah. It got 75 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You know, I could see where people would watch this and say, oh, this is just a ripoff of Groundhog Day. It's not super original. You know, nothing earth-shattering here, where their reaction would just be like, meh, you know. But I think in the right frame of mind, if you just want to watch a nice little movie that's kind of clever, when you're, you know, doesn't make you think super hard, this is the movie. I mean, this is, it sounds like I'm denigrating it. I'm really not. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie. It's a good, solid little movie is what I would call it. And I got excited about some of the locations. There are several scenes in the Dewdrop Inn in Mobile.
Oh, fun.
Which is exciting, but it's funny, you know, as a local, you watch it and you see the two characters having lunch and I'm having eaten at the Dewdrop many times. I'm looking at all the food on the table. And I said to Caroline, I said, there is not one item on that table that's on the menu. At the
that's movie magic, Tom. That's movie magic.
Exactly. And then there's another little thing where they're looking at characters that have Powerball tickets, and they're looking at the Powerball numbers on the TV. And I'm like, okay, that's not Alabama because we don't have the Powerball in Alabama.
Right.
Little things like that. There's also scenes of the Lake Forest neighborhood pool in Daphne. Recognize that. Shots down the main drag of Fairhope, you know, with the clock there in the background and some of the familiar businesses. Several scenes in Fairhope High School in the gym where I've been for basketball games many times, so I recognize the Fairhope High School, but they do a good job of obscuring the name Fairhope. You never see the name Fairhope printed on anything. They really don't want you to identify a place where this movie is taking place.
Right.
But it's the actors in there are young people I've never seen before, because I don't usually watch those kind of movies. So they were not familiar to me, but I thought they did a fine job. And it was, a nice, pleasant, sweet, pretty well-constructed movie with a familiar premise with you know, a couple new creative twists on it.
Now, how do you feel, Tom, about all of these streaming services coming up with all of this original content?
Well, I mean, it's frustrating, but also great. I love that there are a lot of choices, but it's kind of like when you go to a restaurant that doesn't know what it wants to be, and so you have a menu that's got like 18 pages, and you can't even settle on the category of food that you want, much less pick out an item.
Right.
There's so many choices, and all the original programming is spread out so far and wide that, you know, there's not a shared viewing experience much anymore. You know, you've got to pay for these subscriptions separately. And it's, you know, obviously nobody, unless you have a whole lot of money, you're not going to subscribe to all of these things. So if somebody says, hey, there's this great new movie on Amazon, you'd be like, well, that's fine, but I don't subscribe to Amazon, so I guess I'm just going to miss it forever. So I don't know. I don't know. I worry that our shared cultural conversation about movies and TV has disappeared. You know, we're in such a disunified time that I'll look for even superficial things to kind of tie people together. And that used to be TV shows and movies. And we're even, you know, we're starting to lose that. So I worry about not having a common cultural vocabulary, even in pop culture, with people.
Yeah, that is true. I had the conversation recently with my kids, and they asked me how I felt about the Star Wars series. And I said, you know, the first Star Wars movie, when it came out, it rocked us so much that everyone saw it. My mom and dad saw that film, and they didn't go to movies. Like, it, everybody saw it, and it was part of every conversation. And you don't find anything like that today, do you, Tom?
No, not really. I mean, to some degree, the Marvel films, but even that, you know, since the theaters have been shut down, none of those have come out. So between the streaming services fragmenting us and the pandemic, meaning there's not even movies in theater for us to go see, there's really nothing. I mean, maybe sports is about the only thing that remains that is can be a shared experience available on TV to everybody. Mm-hmm. But now we need stories. We need stories that we're all familiar with, you know, because what's going to happen 20 years from now when the kids of today are trying to have conversations with each other and make movie references? No one's going to get them because nobody saw the movie.
That's so true. So here we were talking about the map of tiny, perfect things exclusively found on Amazon Prime. What else should we be looking to see coming up soon, Tom?
Well, I kind of keep one eyeball on the movie theater situation. And really, the big movie that is still slated for theaters, I believe May 7th, I might have the date wrong, but it's early May, is Black Widow, the next film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which was slated to come out a year ago, last May.
Wow.
It's been pushed back three times, and now it's slated for early May, and that, right now, they're looking at that one as the big one to get people back to movies. It will be, as of right now, the plan is to release it only in theaters. But I've heard rumors on the internet that Disney is starting to have second thoughts about that and may try to do what they did with a couple other films, which is release them in theaters and on Disney Plus simultaneously, where you would have to pay like a $30 fee on Disney Plus, even if you're a subscriber, in order to watch it. Hmm. And I understand that some of the Marvel people are not in favor of that. They want it only in theaters. They want this to be the big push. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see what they decide to do, because I think if they stick with, see, the big thing is the LA and New York theaters still have not reopened at all.
Wow.
And that's where all the big money is made.
Yeah.
So until those two cities reopen their theaters, I think the studios are going to have cold feet about the big theater releases.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, man. Tom McDonald, always a pleasure having you on. Have a fantastic weekend.
All right, happy birthday, Todd.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you, Tom.
In 2 days.
Thank
you. Coming up next, Anthony Tobin here is going to be speaking about Vagabond Missions. Ministries, the mission team here in Mobile, Alabama. You do not want to miss it. Stay with us.
Serve God only. Know that if you do, beautiful heaven awaits. Asked to pull my rope for the first time. I saw a man with no clothes, no money, no plate. Mr. Wayne. Asked his name.
Is this the new theme song, I guess, for Vagabond Missions?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Mobile. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. Todd Sylvester, Mike the Great's at the command.
We can all use a little Arrested Development in
Amen.
Our lives, right?
Amen.
There we go.
In studio, Anthony Tobin, who is now the director, the area director for Vagabond Missions in Mobile. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. It's an honor to be here.
Dude, I have so many awesome memories. Just tremendous memories. Because for our listeners, I was the youth minister at St. Ignatius for 14 years. And then when I left, Dan Johnson took over for...
About a year and a half.
And then you, who... you were the DRE there.
Yeah, so your last 2 years, my first 2 years...
Which was awesome.
It was.
But you've been now the youth minister for how long?
So I've been at Ignatius for 12 years, and I guess since the girls were born that July, so 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, in July, we've been 8 years as youth minister.
Right. And now you're moving on to Vagabond Missions.
Yeah, come May, going to end my short stint at St. Ignatius. It's been awesome. It's been amazing. But we're going to start in inner city. Mission for youth ministry here in Mobile. Just really pumped about that. The Lord's just been putting a lot on my heart, and then my co-pilot Lauren Alley, who's campus minister at McGill, and she'll be stepping away and helping start this mission here too.
That's almost not fair to have you and Lauren together. That's like a stacked team. That's like too much awesomeness in the room.
It's like when you, myself, and Dan were going on trips through Ignatius.
It was awesome.
It was fun. It is. It's tough. It's bittersweet in so many ways. We know that Ignatius, I mean, just what you just shared, like Ignatius has had a program and will continue to have a program. McGill has a program and will continue to have a program. We know that people will step in and they're going to be just as amazing. They're going to do awesome things. The program's going to excel as it just kind of has been, you know, naturally going. To start something new, to start something that's needed, that isn't offered yet, we just feel like God just put it on our hearts. And, you know,
Well, talk to us about this. What exactly is this and what's it supposed to look like?
Yeah, so Vagabond Missions, maybe just to start with the national umbrella, Vagabond Missions started about 13 years ago in Steubenville, Ohio, and we both went to Francis University, so we're familiar with it there. But it is youth ministry for inner city, urban, at-risk youth, and even add unchurched too. So those that the normal youth ministry programs, church programs, even parish, you know, Catholic programs just aren't reaching because they're not coming to church, they're not in the parish. So Vagabond Missions is going out to get them. It's mission oriented, it's outreach oriented, it's evangelization oriented to go and meet these teens where they're at, introduce them to Jesus Christ, walk with them, accompany them, but then plug them into churches, plug them into the parishes, plug them into the community. Something that maybe we take for granted in a parochial model, in our parish model, just as you like hire your youth minister for St. Ignatius and they know the teens at St. Ignatius and they work with the teens at St. Ignatius and it just kind of goes in a nice, comfortable wheel. This is going to be a lot different, just going into the streets, going into schools, going into the communities and grabbing these teens and introducing them to Jesus Christ.
Okay, that to me is just amazing. And that gives me chills. Because you're right, for 21 years when I was doing youth ministry, I was just grabbing kids really from the parking lot. That was about as far as
yeah,
I went.
Just,
and now you're actually going to the streets.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, another cool thing about the mission aspect of it, it's not just Lauren and I. We will have three other full-time missionaries with us. So each center, each location, each site has 4 to 5 full-time missionaries who are in the neighborhoods, in the streets, in the community, going to the public schools, meeting them after school, trying to get in, meeting them for lunch, hanging out, drawing them into what our center will be called the underground, the urban underground. inviting them there. It'll be open after school. It'll, like, normal youth group runs. It'll be open Wednesday night type things.
Do you know where it's going to be?
We don't have the location yet. I mean, the areas, we've identified some of the poorest and neediest areas in Mobile, that being, you know, Pritchard, North Creighton area, and then another one being downtown off of Duval Street, mm-hmm. Maysville and stuff. We're looking at starting in the Pritchard, North Creighton area, just because that's where we're most familiar with. It's closest to Ignatius and Strickland's there, youth center and things like that. So we want to start there, but God willing, 5-year plan is to have two centers in Mobile.
And to keep the kids out of Strickland.
Oh, amen. Yeah, I mean, keep kids in school, keep kids out of Strickland, keep kids and their family healthy.
See, holy. That's what's daunting to me right now, Anthony, because most of the kids that I dealt with, it was cake. I mean, it was because most of them were coming from good, solid families. I had support from their homes. I mean, it was really easy ministry. I got to tell you that. So now I'm listening to you going, oh, my Lord, you're going to have to keep these kids in school. Like, there's a lot of other things that you're going to have to be doing for these kids.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. You know, the ministry takes on a whole different look, whole different perspective, a whole different avenue of that. You know, even walking with them, if they get caught up and are in Strickland in front of Judge Naaman, like, still being present with them, letting them know you're loved no matter the mistakes you have made and may make. You know, yeah, there's just so much there, but I think the beauty of us, not just Laura and I, just not just doing it ourselves, kind of being under the umbrella of Vagabond Missions, they've been doing this successfully for 13 years in Steubenville and Pittsburgh and Wichita and New York City and North Carolina. So we're also going to have that training, that help, that community of missionaries doing that too. So I think that's, yeah, just a huge part of it is knowing that we're not on our own, starting our own little thing. Like, we're inviting and bringing something bigger down here into Mobile and hopefully in the South. We're hoping it's going to go New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Father Josh Johnson is on the board of directors, and he's in Baton Rouge, and he's pumped that it is finally down south,
right, you know, right.
South, more south than North Carolina. So to see this kind of explode in our area, Mobile, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, would be, a dream.
Okay, there's got to be a story, though, because both you and Lauren were established in ministry, doing awesome things, well-connected in the community. Everything was going smoothly. So then what happened where you guys were like, hey, let's leave everything, all of our comforts, and let's go to the streets?
Yeah, God happened.
Yes! I love that!
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it is. We, you know, it's nothing against what we're doing. It's not like it's time to leave. And it was hard. I think that's what makes the decision even more difficult. The pandemic did help. I mean, just seeing the need, looking at, you know, in public schools, all that they went through, and had some friends who are teachers at public schools and counselors at like Blount and Murphy, and seeing that, like, the kids aren't coming. You know, seeing that need more evident, it just showed there. So that helped, but for me, at least speaking, like, going on mission trips, going international, we've been blessed at St. Ignatius to offer, man, for the last 7 years, 8 years, I guess, since I started doing youth ministry, we'd go each year on an international mission trip to Ecuador and recently to Guatemala. And every time I'm there, and I always say it like this, you know, Todd, you're a youth minister, an old youth minister. Not old.
No, I am. 53 today, baby. Booyah.
I used to be past youth minister. It's like a whole year of ministry within a 10-day, you know, within a week of doing a mission trip. Like, you get a kid to come international with you, doing a mission, seeing poverty, evangelizing, reaching out, like, letting go of themselves, their phone, their comforts, their home, and putting them in that setting. Yeah, it's like a whole year down in 10 days, and it's awesome. So we're always unpacking it, and it's just like, man, God's calling us to do something. You know, we have this burn on our heart. And so for me personally, I come home equally. I tell the teens, like, God's wants you to do something special. Like, yeah, we'll get ready for it. But I come home and, like, I think God wants me to do something more, too. And so I tell my wife. And
what was her reaction?
Yeah, it's usually like, hey, we should move to Guatemala. The nuns have a house there. And they said, like, we can come for the summer. Our kids can go to school there at the. And she's like, no. And she's like, well, maybe we'll go for like 2 weeks. We'll take a vacation there or something. But, like, I can't just get up and move. And I'm like, oh, I understand. You know, and that was just misguided, misdirected.
It's good to have good wives.
It is. Yeah. I mean, that's my primary vocation. So for me, in all seriousness, I had to then work with that discernment. Like, okay, if I feel I'm called to like do mission work or to go deeper, and my wife, my primary vocation, doesn't want to, then what's God? And that's why I say it was misdirected on my site. But like Mother Teresa always said, you know, stay where you are, find your own Calcutta. And like yes. It just hit me. Okay, so what am I called to do here, Lord? Just praying with it. Love youth ministry. I mean, I didn't feel called away from youth ministry. I feel like, you know, God's placed on my heart. We used to work at St. Mary's Home a ton. Loved going to St. Mary's Home. Like would be frustrated when I couldn't get there enough. It'd be like a month or two go by, and I'd call and I'd be like, I'm so sorry, I haven't been there. Like what can I do? How do we come back? What do you need? You know, and I think I just dealing with that, praying, discerning, like God was putting on my heart, like you can do this, and underprivileged kids need that.
What's this going to look like at the Underground?
Yeah, I mean, it'll look common to, I mean, what we have youth group at, so it'll be a youth center. It won't be attached to a parish. I think that's what's different. It's reaching out to the unchurched kids, kids who, you know, fallen away even. But those who aren't naturally going and aren't inclined and aren't even comfortable to get into like a attached building to a church. But it'll be open every day after school. Like I said, we'll have five missionaries there. I mean, we're going to want volunteers. You know, we'll offer help, tutoring, I mean, fun, hanging out, just to be present with them, to love them, to ask them how their day is, to give them snacks and hang out. Then we're going to have youth group nights. We'll have worship nights. We'll have virtue formation nights, just to talk and to build up, you know. But then also we're going to have retreats. We're going to have those activities. So every summer in August, all Vagabond Missions come to in Maryland, a camp, and they have a week-long camp with just Vagabond Missions from Wichita all the way down to Mobile. And, like, to take them on a week, to invite them to a week of summer camp to discover themselves, but also to grow closer with God, to be in that relationship with God. We're so excited for, we'll get groups going to ACYC. Like, you know what I mean? We'll be doing that. We'll try to get groups going to March for Life. Like having those other activities that are, you know, I say our kids, like at St. Ignatius, they've benefited from, they look forward to. Like the biggest thing is we're not going to March for Life this year. You know, I just heard the sighs from all the kids. It's hard. 'Cause like, those are fun trips.
Yeah.
To get on a bus, I know this may sound weird, but to get on a bus for 20 hours, to be together on a bus locked in for 20 hours, it's painful, but it's amazing.
Yeah, right? Just incredible things come out of it.
Yeah, just absolutely. And so our kids get used to that, and going on the mission trip every summer, they get used to that. So to be able to offer this, that's what it's going to look like, is we're going to be able to have this center to get them, to build those relationships, to walk with them, but also introduce them to experiences they've never had before and they aren't being invited into, you know, and especially with that relationship with Jesus Christ. And
I'm just picturing all these lonely kids who are so marginalized, who fall through the cracks, who are going to start coming to your place, and you're going to know their names and you'll know their story. I mean, I'm trying to fight back tears just thinking about how awesome this is going to be.
Man.
All right, can I ask the dad question, though?
Yeah, please.
How are you paying for all this? That's my first concern. I'm like, a building, electricity,
yeah,
staff, food. Ah!
It is. And I may be a little naive. Yeah, I'm not a young adult. I have a family. I have four kids. I have a wife I have to provide for. You know, scripture even says, you know, a father who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. So, I mean, I'm very aware of my responsibilities. You know, the cool thing is the church is growing in this mission area in this way. And so I have friends, and Vagabond Missions has five other guys who are fathers. I mean, Focus Mission has dads who have six, seven, eight kids who are doing it. So I'm trusting God. I definitely have to place a lot of trust in God and in the church, and knowing that it's been done and can be done. But also it's like a nonprofit, you know what I mean? So we'll raise support. We have our budget personally. my wife and I have always budgeted well, just being a youth minister anyway. So we know our expenses, we have our budget. But also Vagabond Missions, is they said, here's what it takes, you know, so we can run this center on an annual budget for right around $200,000 annually.
Come on, the whole thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Now we'd want more. I mean, we want to be able to do
more.
But we know that with, you know, that'd be Lauren and I with our salaries, but then all of the other stuff, and extra added cost of like getting a van, but that's just an initial startup cost. You know, the rent would be in there. Furnishing would be initial startup cost, but, and I've already got an air hockey table and a ping pong table.
Yeah,
down there,
baby. You know, woo!
The most important
thing.
Yeah, things
for youth ministry.
So we may be on the street playing ping pong, but we have, you know, and I know it comes. But anyway.
Yeah, but how do we give? How do we give
yeah,
to this?
So
because
thank you for asking.
I definitely want to be a part of this.
Man, thank you for asking. You can see it on our website, Vagabond Missions Mobile, missions with an S, vagabondmissionsmobile.com. And you can see the vision, you can see the layout on there, and then you can give on there. There's a donate page. And, yeah, I mean, everything is a blessing, and we're grateful for, you know.
Well, because this is how I feel, Anthony, is that the majority of us, even me, as an old youth minister, I'm not going the streets and getting in relationship with these kids. I know that that's necessary. I know that that's a good and holy thing. But I'm trying to do all sorts of projects at my house right now. And I'm sorry, that's the priority. So I want to partner with you because you definitely feel called to do this. I want to help. I want to be a part of this. Awesome. And I know that for right now, I think the only way that I can be a part of it is with my checkbook. I hope that's cool.
That's awesome. No, it's very much welcomed. We appreciate that. You know, and I think another part of this, the exciting part of the mission and encountering the teens is mobilizing the church, you know, and Mobile's already doing great and phenomenal things, but, just adding that extra part to it, you know, I mean, that's how I felt when Focus came down. And we're at St. Ignatius, and there's Focus at, if anybody knows kind of the geography, I guess the layout of Mobile, which I'm sure, but South is right there. So we just run into Focus missionaries often, either in the Adoration Chapel, or they'll come to Mass, and it's such a witness. And like, so people give and people support because, you know, you just have four missionaries who are constantly present in the community.
Yeah.
And Focus has done that. You know, now they're also doing amazing things on campuses and praise God for that. But they still are building up the church, like getting us excited to see young adults give 2-3 years of their life and just be present around there. And so I'm pumped that Vagabond Missionaries will be here too, equally present along. You know, I mean, just have you have many orders, Carmelites, the Visitations, the Little Sisters. We're gonna have missionaries active too. You know, you're building up the church locally, and so it's exciting for that. You know, and so any dollar goes to right here, right in Mobile, to that, seeing missionaries active and engaged in our community, and especially in the inner city, reaching out to the underprivileged teens who don't get the experiences we do in the parish.
That is beautiful. Anthony, you're awesome.
Thanks, Todd.
The website, vagabondmissionsmobile.com. Check them out, and if you feel so called, please support them. Anthony, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
Coming up, Father Mateusz Rotzik with our Sunday Gospel Reflection is going to be beautiful. Stay with us. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester, Mike the Great's at the Command Center. On the line, we have Father Mateusz Rotzik, who is the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul in Tallahassee and St. Joseph's in Tuskegee, here to share the Sunday Gospel Reflection for the first Sunday of Lent. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Buenos dias to everyone.
I like when the Polish priest is speaking Spanish. That's always, it's always beautiful.
And it's perfect, too. Perfect Spanish, man.
Nice. So the first Sunday of Lent, we got a nice long gospel, Mark's gospel, huh?
He is very long. He is long in everything. Yes.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's do it. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have something different for today. I would like to read the reflection I encountered this week preparing for Sunday. And I'm still digesting it, so I don't want to mess it up. So just read those few paragraphs for all who are listening.
Sure.
Here are how it goes. Out in the woods, I turn a corner. I stop suddenly. On the leaves in the front of me, a red-tailed hawk is perched on the body of a squirrel. His beak snatches at its red flesh. The hawk's black eyes stare at me. He goes back to picking at his meat, predator eating prey. In the desert, Jesus was meat. How did he not get eaten by wolves in the Judean wilderness? Bears and lions roamed the hills. Jackals howled at nighttime. For 40 days, by Mark's account, the son of the carpenter dwelt among them. He was weak. He was exposed. He was vulnerable. He could have been picked to pieces. In that stark space, strip of human support, the Savior of the world started his earthly ministry. Lent is the season of the desert. We have 40 days to ponder our vulnerability. Wolves and hawks could eat us as well. We could be picked to pieces by the lions outside of ourselves, or ripped to shreds by the jackals of our own minds and hearts. How are we to make it through this life? Is it our own strength enough? In reality, in our emptiness, exposed and vulnerable, we are as defenseless as squirrels. The Holy Spirit thrusts Jesus into the immenseness of the desert. The Holy Spirit thrusts us into this season of penitence to recognize our need for God, to find God and to seek God. The goal of Lent is to strip away anything that keeps us from belonging to God alone. The Creator of the universe is trustworthy. The Almighty creates a covenant of care for all creatures. In the wilderness story, the angels tend to Jesus. In our own littleness, we too are protected. Our God is vast and good, and yet remembers us. Under the divine wings, we find shelter. We will not be eaten. This is it.
Amen. Wow. You know, that's comforting, Father, but when you're in the woods, you're still scared.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's what one of the approaches to Lent is, that it's a scary time in a way, because our resolutions, if we pick them right, they may not be going well. They may be showing how weak we are, how vulnerable we are, how, you know, helpless we are. So it can be very sad time, which is blessing because it opens us then more towards God. You know, if the resolutions go well, like I'm not eating chocolate or not watching movies or whatever I'm doing good there, and give us this good feeling of, yeah, I'm doing something good. And I think that's all right. That's needed sometimes too. But if my resolutions are not going well, even the small one, if I cannot be kind, if I cannot stop speeding, if I cannot stop watching TV, if even my almsgiving is, I cannot just make myself to give more to others, to the church, and feels like I'm just disaster, I think that's a beautiful place to be, although scary, because that is chance to open myself to be before God and cry before Him and let myself in this pain be loved by Him, be carried by Him, not be rejected, but still see Him being with me there and slowly guiding me to better place. When I understand better that without Him, I really cannot do nothing.
Amen. All right, so then how, though, do we overcome? Because a lot of people, it seems, come to me and they share that they've got these fears and anxieties, and it kind of brings them down almost into a place of depression. And that dark place that we're talking about, I mean, you know, we see Christ in the desert, but we're thinking, okay, how then do we kind of rely more on God and and connect deeper with the Holy Spirit, Father?
I would say that one of the important ways is to examine what kind of friendships I have in my life. Am I known by someone from my friends truly? When I'm in darkness, when I'm scared, is there someone I can call? Someone who really knows who I am, all my dark spots, all my darkness, all my pain. Because if I'm not truly loved by people, is it family members or friends or known by the priest or spiritual director, then it's very difficult to let myself be truly loved by God. And sometimes even more, I think if those, you know, worries and darkness is really heavy, the act of self-love, of good loving myself, is to go for counseling, is to find help that give me the space to really work on those things in my life. Because, as you said, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think loving ourselves is the most difficult part of life, to give us needed attention, to give us needed support, and to fight for the people who can truly be loving for us, who can embrace us in our misery, with whom we can walk, you know, without any masks, without any covers, with whom we can learn how to love God.
Amen. I've got a friend of mine who, he jokingly says that he hates Lent. And he goes, Todd, I just don't understand why you love Lent so much. And I said, because I know that Lent has a purpose. And I always am a better person after Lent. I think that the church needs a second Lent somewhere, like in the summertime or something. I don't know. But it's because when I come out of Lent, Father, I'm a better person because I'm consciously thinking about growing in holiness, getting more vices out of my life, trying to diminish those faults that I have, and trying to really become that person that Christ created me to be. And I just am so grateful for the gift of Lent. I don't know how you feel about it.
I agree. I'm sometimes feel like not a better person after Lent if I don't really follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do some serious work there. I see it's a time of grace. I think a year or 2 years ago, I thought about maybe I should give up beer for Lent. I was like, no, I cannot do that. That's ridiculous. And I've been drinking so much beer through the whole Lent. It was like, that was invitation from God to bring some good moderation, some break. And I didn't take it seriously. And it just went worse. So I stopped drinking beer later anyway because I'm like, I need some break here. You know, I don't really need to drink beer in my life. I can have a few months without beer. So it's just an invitation from God to do some heavy lifting there, scary one. But if we don't do it, then often things just may go worse because we didn't answer to God's invitation to walk with us through those vices.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Father, may we have your blessing before you go?
Why not?
I love this guy!
You're the best. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life, for the blessing and challenges of this week. I ask you to bless all of the listeners. May they experience your love, your tenderness, and your compassion as they walk in this time of Lent. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Father Mateusz, you're awesome. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Thank our sponsor, Anna Luce, with Roberts Brothers Realtors, top 10 in 2020. With Anna's assistance in the sale of your home and or purchase of another, closing by May 31st, she will dedicate 5% of her take to the charity of your choice in your name. For details, call Anna at 251-454-2782 or visit Anna Luce at robertsbrothers.com. Who's coming up on Monday?
Yes, on Monday, nationally syndicated host Cal Thomas. Cal Thomas will be talking about the death of Rush Limbaugh.
God rest his soul.
Yes, God rest his soul indeed. Carlo Broussard shares about being at home with the Lord. And we'll talk with Jay Richards from Catholic University of America about fasting.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio, WNGL, 1410 AM and 94.5 FM. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mother. She loves you.
I love it.